Special place, and we have this treasure. I think the whole place is a treasure, but where the word is spoken, it says, we have this treasure. And I kind of look at this book. I know a lot of people don't, but I look at this book and I say, we have this treasure. I know there are a lot of unsingable hymns in here, but it's still a treasure. And so tonight we're going to look at that treasure. And our first hymn is 186. We're going to think about this space and about the altar. This space and the altar. And we have another person that decided to bring along an instrument up the boat, all the way from my hometown, from Edina. And she's on her way to Northwestern. So we have something in common. Northwestern is at Evanston, which is right next to Chicago. I live in Edina. She lives in Edina. I work in Chicago, she works in Chicago. And this is Sarah Dahlgren. And Eric Strom, who is leaving on Friday, we try to use him as much as we can before he leaves. He's going to sing, and Eric is on his way for more voice study at Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma. Okay, 186. Sarah's going to play it. This is one way I would suggest for an encore. I've never done this hymn. I've worked with this hymn a lot ever since it was published. I've never done this hymn. I don't know why, but I haven't. Anyway, so to acquaint me with it, Sarah's going to play the melody on the first stanza, and and then Eric will sing stanza 1 and 2, and then we'll all join in on 3 and 4. Okay, how blessed is this place? We have this treasure. Thank you. about baptism. There is a baptismal font here someplace. And it's a very special font, and I think probably, like me, you maybe haven't taken time to look at it. Before we bring it out, place it right out here. Many congregations are reorganizing and their space and seeing that they have even larger baptismal fonts. And sometimes they even have pouring water in the baptismal fonts. My colleague on the worship staff in the ELCA office, Anita Stauffer, has been making a study of the history of baptismal fonts. And she's been going all over the world taking photographs. And the bigger the font she can find, the better she feels. But this one has something very interesting. I hope you come up afterwards and look. It says, "Let the seed of my faith fall free into the loamy soil of my death. Living word in living water shall give birth, and I shall rise a whole new life, sprung from the seed of faith." Baptism. Somebody asked me today, what do you do in the parish? My ordinance does not improvise. And I really would like to have a little more variety. I think it must have been a pastor. And I said, well, Augsburg has published some things, and I'm going to share a few of them with you this evening. There are three hole punch copies of music, and on one side is an introduction to the hymn, and on the other side is a free copy. So we'll try that out tonight on this hymn, which is a hymn you all know, but we might like to have a little variation. And it's 194. Every year for 20-some years, we've been having worship conferences in the summer. I think the most we've had in one summer is 12, and they're all over the United States. We were planning for the theme for one summer, and we decided to emphasize baptism. And I suggested at a committee meeting that we commission a composer to write something on one of the baptismal hymns, an anthem for children's choir, adult choir, and organ. I went to the music editor at Oxford, and I said, I prefer having a composer, somebody that we haven't used in Oxford before. We have some great composers in the stable at Oxford, but I thought it'd be good if we could find somebody new. And Alan Monty, the music editor, said, oh, it's interesting, you should ask. I had a letter about a week ago from a composer in New Jersey, and he sent some manuscripts, and they looked very interesting. His name is Kevin Norris. So we called Kevin, and we said, Kevin, would you accept the commission, write anthem for Children's Choir at Elkhart Organ, based on, this is the Spirit's entry now, 195. And he said, what's the entry name? And he said, Perry. And there was a little pause. And then he said, Perry was written by my teacher, Leo Sowerby. Oh. It was a wonderful coincidence. And then he said, Oxford, is that Lutheran? And we said, yes. And he said, well, does it make any difference if I'm a Roman? I work at a Roman Catholic church, the Church of the Blessed Assumption in Teaneck, New Jersey. And he said, not if you don't change the text. So, about a month later, this beautiful manuscript arrived from Teaneck, New Jersey. And there was a cover letter with it. And on the cover letter, he used the stationery of the church. And the stationery said, Church of the Blessed Assumption. And Kevin Norris had crossed out blessed and written it alleged.
The text is by a pastor at St. Louis Park in Minneapolis.
And I always get confused faces. But I think it's a good idea when you are singing in church that you do get a good posture for singing, and so I encourage people to sit up. There's a marvelous hymn, the next one, 378. Amid the world's bleak wilderness, I don't know why anybody wants to sing it, it has such a terrible title. But there is one person that liked the hymn so much he wrote an entire book of devotions based on the five stanzas of this hymn, and that's Leslie Brandt. Many of you know some of the Brandt paraphrases. I have one along with me tonight. It's probably my favorite portion from the Psalms. It's Psalm 8, and it speaks about what I'm a broker for. Oh God, how full of wonder and splendor you are. I see the reflections of your beauty and hear the sounds of your majesty wherever I turn when I gaze into the star-studded skies as soon as we get out of here. I contemplate in utter amazement my Creator's concern for me. And yet, we've been studying Genesis this week, and yet you have made me in your image. You have assigned to me the fantastic responsibility of carrying on your creative energy. Oh God, how full of wonder and splendor. I was just thinking how wonderful it was to have a hymn sing with a crunching of popcorn and a little suggestion of bullet points. Oh, now this hymn. How many have sung this hymn? One. Well, yeah, well, that is because I live at your church. I think a lot of people have not sung this church. I know you're not all over, but anyway. I want to get you into the hymn by sharing a couple of paragraphs from this book. It's called Meditations Along the Journey of Faith by Leslie Brandt. Based on this hymn. This is the kind of world into which you placed us, Lord. It is in this world that we have been granted the gift of life. There are sunrises and sunsets, green valleys and blue skies, mountains and deserts, lights and shadows, and there is pain. Oh, so much pain. It afflicts all your creatures wherever they are. There is doubt and fear and loneliness and brokenness in this world, Lord. It appears at times that you have placed us here only to leave us here, victims of our own folly, subject to disease and to disaster. Subject to strange powers. We are not able to escape. We really will access what? Awesome in all its beauty, yet fearsome with many tragedies. There are problems we cannot solve, questions we cannot answer. There are mountains we cannot climb, and chasms we cannot cross, heights we cannot reach, and depths we cannot fathom. This is the world into which you have placed us. Our journey begins here. It will also end here. Amid the world's bleak wilderness. It's one of those love song hymns.
Thank you.
sung it in your congregation? He said, no, I didn't know it was in the book. I said, do you have any people that work in the vineyards? Because the fourth time to talk about vineyards. And he said, yes, about 30 people in my congregation and two own vineyards. Well, I got back to the office in Minneapolis a couple weeks later, and there was a postcard. And on the picture side of the postcard was a big vat, wine vat, which the Chamber of Commerce has outside the Napa Valley. And it says, we're wine, Napa Valley, where wine is bottled poetry. On the other side of the card, it said, we sang it last Sunday. Nice to get those progress reports. The last stanza, I think, really, we should put the whole hymn in the communion distribution section.
The reversal of the Trinitarian order in the benediction was made not only to make the conclusion memorable, but to indicate the order in which the Trinity approaches us in worship. The Spirit bringing us the gospel by which God's blessing is released in our lives. In the name of the Spirit, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Father. Sing it.
like the green grass around here, you'll also like the penny books that we play. And in charge of green grass and so forth is Brian Moore, who is going to share with us. You also have to have something that we need. I have this idea that we're going to kick it out. Are you doing this? Good. Okay. If you don't have this, I think people will see to it that you get it. These are some hymns that I commissioned. I'm not a poet. I'm not a composer. I'm not a painter. I'm not a sculptor. I look at my role in the church as being a broker and trying to encourage those people who have talent to use that talent for the church and to share it with the people as they live out their lives in the community. And so I asked Jerry if he would write a hymn that would surprise us and that would give us a sense of the evangelical outreach, sharing, catching the vision and sharing the gospel. And so let's listen to the melody of Carl Schoen as Ryan plays it on the penny whistle. Second page, where it says, "Can you imagine? What do you think about yourself?" What kind of what kind of attitude do you have about your Christian community? And I think Jerry has done it so well. He's encapsulated in these few words, who on earth, something's afoot in the universe. Who in the whole universe? Who on earth has privilege? I hope we can share that with our families. And then, I will if my wife can ever get here. She has been delayed and she will be arriving on Saturday. Okay. Then the other is caring, the next line of the third stanza. Can you imagine a congregation having a meeting and they're scrapping a little bit about how much they should pay for the organ, or if they should put in stained glass windows, or if they should have a soup kitchen, and there's a little controversy? And then they sang this hymn, Caring Winsome Family of God. I think that would be nice. Okay. The next thing. A poet wrote in my office, and his name is Ralph Freeman, and he said, can you use my poetry? And I wrote back and I said, no. But I said, if you'd write something that would work with the theme that we're working with, this is a couple of years ago, we maybe could, and he wrote this absolutely, I think, incredibly beautiful hymn. And then I sent it. He was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and I thought the same waters that refreshed and inspired people in Kenosha would probably inspire people in Milwaukee. I knew a composer in Milwaukee. So James Melby did the music. And I'd like to have you sing Lou on the melody as we sing this hymn. I played this first chord, and I thought I really made a mistake. Thank you. the last in this collection is by Minneapolis playwright John Horlock, who is also a poet. And on the last page, you'll find it says, "Let me go out to where there is no door, to where I, your light, have never gone before." A theologian at Wartburg Seminary said, "After I had sung that, I realized I was singing the most significant theological statement that I'd read or sung in 1956, I believe this was 86. Norma Everest.
Thanks.
Yes, me. We'll sing just one thing. Two hymns, and that last one, I just didn't think it sounded like a hymn to me, so we call it a spiritual song. Okay, now we're going to have a little music from Cesar Franck. You can rest and enjoy the glorious tones of the trombone. Dave, Panis Angelicus, Cesar Franck, composer 1822 to 1890. Didn't even make it into this century.